From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on March 20th when the proposed Rochester downtown BID, short for Business Improvement District, was shut down. Here's how WXXI's Brian Sharp described it at the time. Quote, backers of a downtown business improvement district have dropped the effort and are pivoting to support other revitalization efforts. In an email, the Partnership for Downtown Rochester wrote that there is not presently the political will and majority support needed from Rochester City Council to successfully establish a business improvement district. City Council member Willie Lightfoot recently switched positions, joining colleagues Mary Lupien, Stanley Martin, and Kim Smith in opposition. It was not immediately clear who else might have joined in tilting the balance, end quote. A coalition had formed to oppose the bid on numerous grounds. And as you might imagine, they were in a celebratory mood. But now they are also looking ahead, shifting some of their focus and looking at what can be accomplished downtown, who should be involved, and what that should look like. This conversation this hour is part of a series of conversations about the future of downtown. It's not all about the bid. We'll certainly explore what various community stakeholders have to say about the bid. And we can't do it all in one day. We have invited, for example, Galen Brooks, who leads RDDC, the Rochester Downtown Development Corporation, to join us. RDDC was helping lead the bid effort, and we hope that Galen Brooks will take us up on that offer to come on the program soon. Today, let me welcome in studio with us a member of Rochester City Council, Kim Smith. Kim, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Hello to Jackie McGriff, a filmmaker, community advocate, and bid education committee member. Hi, Jackie. Welcome back here. Thanks for being here. And Kelly Cheadle is also a member of the bid education committee, an artist, community organizer. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Can I say that it was a celebratory mood on March 2021?
That was actually my birthday, which is kind of delightful and hysterical. And I hate to start off, but I'm going to have to disagree with the RDDC statement that there wasn't the political will on council, because there was the political will on council, and it was the will of the people. They were listening to us, and they heard that this was not something we wanted. So I know I give them ire all the time, but they were listening, and we appreciate that.
Well, Kim, as a member of council, part of what RDDC is saying there is they didn't think they had the votes. There were 4 no votes publicly that I know of. Were there 5? Were there more?
I'm aware of 4.
You're aware of 4. Okay. So, that's where it stood there. Were you surprised, by the way, when this came out? I talked to a lot of people who maybe didn't see this coming at the time. Did you expect the bid to be killed when it was?
You know, after history had been made, when we had the Speak to Council session where over 150 persons showed up to speak to council, and they were all, or the majority, were part of the coalition that you recently mentioned, and that is the Coalition for the Community Action Plan, who wanted no bid, pause the reassessment, vacancy study, and ceasefire. And I believe after that session, eyes were awakened. And council was here to represent the people. And in that session, and even prior to that, the people had spoken.
Jackie, when you're working for something for so long and so hard on it, does it come as a surprise when it goes your way and all of a sudden it's like the dam breaks and it happened? Was it a surprise?
It was definitely like a kind of like a shock to the system, because you're working on this thing for so long and you don't know when you're going to see something finally break. So there was that immediate like shock and then excitement, and then but then also just like kind of like cautionary like excitement too, because you're like, okay, this is seemingly dead, but of course there's always the opportunity for someone to try something. So at the moment though, it was very much celebratory.
Kelly, were you surprised?
Oh, absolutely. I figured like we were making plans for months worth of a campaign to, you know, if we had to, we were going to go and collect signatures to force this to a public referendum. This bid was not, I think, Kim, I looked at you and said, they are not getting this bid. And true to my word, they did not get this bid.
Well, I mean, I want all 3 of our guests to explain a little bit. We're going to spend, I think, the bulk of this hour looking ahead and talking about what our guests want to see happen in downtown, what development means to them, what that looks like, and who is represented, who's part of the process. So we're going to talk a lot about that. But briefly, I'll start with you, Kelly. when you describe to people who, I think the average person isn't really clued in on what a BID is. You have to explain what's a business improvement district and here's how it works. And they're not all the same and they're in a lot of different places. And how did you describe why you viewed this particular proposal as so concerning?
Now, that's interesting that you mentioned that I have to explain to the community what a business improvement district is, because that was part of what the charge was from council to the RDDC, was to inform and engage the community about what a business improvement district is. But the short version is, it's a special taxing district that allows funds to be collected and spent by a board. That board is going to, or would have been run by a majority of property owners, and generally the largest property owners, because it's weighted based upon property value and number of parcels that are owned. And in a community like ours, and in a community like many across the U.S., where property ownership has been denied to communities of color, to immigrant populations, that board is overwhelmingly majority white and wealthy and doesn't necessarily reflect the voices of the community members that live there, just the ones who own property there.
Okay. Jackie, what were your concerns? I know that I'm sure they're reflected by some of what Kelly just said here.
Absolutely, yes. 100% of what Kelly was saying. And then also that this same board would then have access to private security, or they would hire private security who then have an immediate access to RPD. So anyone that they deem, you know, not wanted in that community, right, because they're trying to keep up some sort of like not upkeep. What is the word I'm looking for?
They're
like,
they
try, yeah, like the vibe. Like they're trying to keep up appearances, because of course they want this to appeal to people outside. They want downtown to appeal to people outside of the city. So we're talking about suburbanites. So anyone that they may deem, you know, someone that they don't want kind of like walking around and everything like that, they have this direct access to RPD, which we've seen in the past, you know, given our history, given the history, not just of this city, but in this country, you know, of harming Black and brown folks, of harming homeless folks, of disabled folks, and it goes on and on. So that was some of my concern. It's also the fact that there would be this mandatory fee that would pass down to landlords as part of this money that's being given to this board. And then from then, the landlords can make that decision of whether it passes. And historically, with bids, that cost passes down to the tenants. So that was also my concern, because I know quite a few business owners in the city, and they are already struggling. So those two things were my main concern as well.
Okay. And Councilmember Kim Smith, what were your reasons for opposing the bid?
You know, when the proposed legislation initially came to us, it came to us as an idea. And we were told that this is an idea, mm-hmm, that they want to revitalize downtown, and based on that idea, they were going to engage the community and create a plan. But what we found out moving forward is that a plan had already been created, and the community had not been engaged in that plan. And that became evident as pieces of legislation were trying to make their way through council that would actually support the bid. So no one was honest with us from the start. And I think the bid, Evan, I think it's important to remember that the bid is a part of a much bigger issue. And the bigger issue is that Rochester is not okay. We lack a people-centered, just, and equitable democracy. Mm. And so the bid failing was a step in the right direction of what the people cannot and will not tolerate.
I think we have, do we have what the mayor said? On this program, Mayor Malik Evans was here a couple weeks ago, and I had a chance to ask him about this, and his comments, I thought, are at least worth exploring a little bit. Let's listen to that interaction with the mayor. Did you want to see a bid, Mayor?
I would have liked to. I would have liked to, but I think that in order for it to work, you have to have broad-based community involvement. And if it just creates a big food fight, then you spend all the time, you spend all your time fighting and not getting anything done. And as mayor, my job always is to try to bring people together, even people that don't want to be brought together. You know, and we have a bid at High Falls. Canandaigua has a bid. Cleveland has a bid. Baltimore has a bid. Washington, D.C. has a bid. So the question is how can you still have vibrancy in downtown without all the food fights? And we love food fights in the city. We just love it. I think you know, this has got to be one of the, you know, we're one of those cities where we say we want to collaborate and work together, but it's always a challenge to be able to do that. But we have to keep doing that if we're going to see progress.
I don't want to read between the lines, Councilmember Smith, too much. But I do hear in the mayor's remarks there, someone who wanted to see this bid happen, but someone who was a little frustrated in the division and the lack of collaborative, constructive work on this. Do you feel those remarks are targeted at the anti-bid crowd? Do you feel that you weren't collaborative enough?
I don't believe it's about not being collaborative enough. I think if we want collaboration, we have to have collaborative processes. And right now, people are throwing out the word equity because it is now a very popular political phrase. It's very catchy, but equity is actually an action word. And in order for us to survive in Rochester, we need to have equitable processes. And when we talk about equity, we're talking about creating a standard and a set of objectives, and then giving specific steps in how we move towards that objective. For example, if we're talking about housing equity, shouldn't we start by setting the standard that everyone needs to be housed? And so our process is first looking at those who aren't housed and making them a priority. And so, again, if you want collaborative processes and outcomes, you must collaborate. People do not want political heroes. They want leaders who are willing to represent them. If you remember the community action plan that the bid was a part of, that was a set of community members coming together on four pillars, reaching out to every council member, including the mayor, saying, "Will you represent us?" Four responded. And when we responded, we showed up in space with them. We did not speak. We asked them what they needed in order to move forward and give them what they need. So when you talk about fight, this isn't a food fight. This is a fight for survival. People not only have the right to survive and thrive, they are in these streets fighting to survive.
Kelly, when it comes to one of the main concerns, that question of property value taxation and taxation value leading to who gets a seat at the table, mm-hmm, on a board. Would you be open to something like what New York City does? This is from NYC.gov. This is their page on their bid, Business Improvement Districts. From NYC.gov, quote, "Each bid is run by a not-for-profit organization with a board of directors elected by members in the district. The board must include property owners, merchants, residents, and representatives of local elected office. The board is in charge of making key decisions about programs and services, budgets, goals, policies, and staffing," end quote. So an elected board. Would that change anything?
I think you need to be very careful in reading that and in the legislation, because a lot of these documents are geared towards getting these bids passed. So what is kind of glossed over in that is the election is amongst the members of the bid. So the property owners are the ones who are doing the electing. And that's part of New York state law. New York state law mandates that you have to have a majority of property owners on the board. So you could add, you want to add more tenants? Sure, you could add four more tenants, but you have to add five more property owners to that bid. So everybody else is de facto minority representation on that board and will not have, like, this is token representation. This is not actual
representation. If that formula changed, would that be a step?
I think you have to go back to why are we doing this, which is a question that we've never really got an answer to. Like, why a bid? You know, the sort of, you know, I think everybody at this point, the only thing that they know about a bid is that there's like over 1,200 of them across the U.S. And to me, that only speaks that they're easy to get put in place, not their efficacy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're talking about equity, like Kim was just mentioning, like, to me, the thing that I'd rather see in our community is like what they have in Washington, D.C. They have a Council Office of Racial Equity, and that office reviews every piece of legislation that goes in front of their council before it gets to a vote. So that way those council members don't have to sit there and kind of consider like each and every subtle nuance of every piece of, you know, there's how many things come in the packet every month, Kim? Like, there's like 60 things could come across their desk. But that gets reviewed by someone who is only looking at the legislation through an equity lens, who can better inform the council members to look out for their community and make sure that the legislation that passes is equitable. So in that case, if we had a Council Office of Racial Equity and there's some changes at the state level on how bids happen, and there's a discussion in the community about what we need, and it turns out that a bid is the solution, and it gets reviewed and it's good, all right, we can have a conversation then. But until then, that's not happening.
Can I piggyback on that for a moment? Because in conversations that I have had with others, I've taken those conversations to the mayor and to the president of council. And in both spaces, I have requested something like a community advisory council, because currently the administration, it is not diverse, and council is much too divided. And you just saw an example of that when the majority came out with something. And where does that leave me and my three colleagues? Does that mean we're the minorities? Does that mean that we don't get much of a say? And so we need something like that in place in the absence of strong leadership and lack of diversity and lack of specificity when it comes to equity.
Well, and I think part of what Kim is describing for listeners is, and this is something we'll try to explore in the days and weeks to come on this program, there are five members of council who have kind of formed a block to say that they're going to try to work together. And my read on this, and this is just sort of an interpretation, is that they feel that there's too much important work that has been sort of sidetracked by divisiveness, similar to how the mayor felt. Now, what I hear Kim and Kelly, I'll ask Jackie in a second, in responding to the mayor is not that, hey, it's not like you said, everybody come to the table, let's make the bid better. How do you make it better? What you seem to be saying is the conditions are so poor for a bid right now. All of the requirements and what the law says is there is no negotiation. There is no bid that would be helpful in your mind. Is that fair, Kim?
That is
in the
very
current
fair
condition.
Yes.
Okay, Kelly, yes?
Yes, it doesn't serve. It's not doing what it's advertised to do. Like, if we're going to talk about, you know, making downtown more vital, let's use that framework. You know, what creates vitality when you have what you need to survive and thrive? You know, what did we see on the day of the eclipse? We saw 3/4 of the community had the day off. So downtown was popping because people had the day off. I can't think of the last weekend I had where, like, the whole weekend had nothing to do that I didn't have to, like, you know, do something with managing the household or the bid or work or, you know, like, we need to give people space to be vital. Vitality is vital, like, it's life. Like, it's literally, like, the root of the word is life.
Okay, and we'll talk more about that coming up here. Jackie, what would you say to the mayor's comments about saying, you know, hey, there were too many people who just didn't really want to work together?
It feels like a slap in the face because, again, I've been in these speak to council meetings where all, like I said, all of these groups are coming together, these four groups coming together in solidarity, recognizing that, you know, as to what both Kelly and Kim have talked about is having a home, being able to have all the resources necessary in order to not only keep that home, but then also to sustain it. And frankly, it sounds as though, again, he's not paying attention to what his community is asking him for. Every single month, all of us would come together in this coalition asking for all of these things. This is the will of the people. This is what the community wants. This is what his community wants and is telling him time and time again and is telling the council. So it sounds like you're not only not listening to what your community is telling you that they want, you're also making more of the fact that, or making it more important that because we don't have a bid, we need to have a bid, right? All of these other communities have a bid, so we need one. That's not the point here. The point here is that you are someone who's been elected by your people to office, and so you need to listen to what the people want.
I mean, I think the mayor would say he is trying to listen to the people.
But that's not how it's coming across. If you really were concerned about what was going on in this community, you would then listen to what people time and time again for the past 6 months and longer have been telling you that they want, which is, again, in this coalition.
We're talking to Jackie McGriff, Kelly Cheadle, Kim Smith, who have been part of this coalition that opposed a bid, celebrated a victory with the death of the bid. I don't know if it's a permanent death. Kelly just made a face like, I don't know if you, do you not think it's the death of the bid?
Well, I'm a very detail-oriented person, if you haven't noticed. So to me, I see the original legislation that opened a door. I see a group of folks that said, oh, we're not going to walk through that door, and just kind of left it at that. That door has not been closed on the legislation to me. And I don't know that there's a expiration date or on the legislation. So I would like some clarity. I think the community would like some clarity as to whether or not, you know, a district plan could be filed at a later date, because council was not given the opportunity to vote this down formally. So once again, we're being denied the vote on this topic. And based upon the behavior that we've seen in the community, I was reading an essay by James Baldwin the other day, and it was, I can't believe what you say because I see what you do.
Mm-hmm. Kim,
And when you think back, even think, Evan, back on some of the leadership spaces that you've been in, even the meetings that you've had with WXXI, surely everyone doesn't agree.
Of course, absolutely right.
Exactly. But when you don't agree, do those folks who agree with one another then decide to take up arms against those who disagree? Or do you sit and find a way to get the best of both worlds so that you reach consensus?
What I'm hearing from the mayor is he felt that there were people who were not willing to do that. And what I'm hearing from you is you don't believe that the mayor and others are willing to. There seems to be some dissonance on who is not willing to cooperate, I guess, collaborate.
Well, so I think the other piece of this is, before the first piece of legislation went through, we were calling for a pause because we wanted to have this conversation with everybody at the table. As soon as that legislation was passed, the opportunity for that conversation ended, because it was no longer whether or not we wanted one. It was, what flavor do you want? Which presumes that we're having one. So that opportunity for that collaborative plan building was denied to the community. So we had to go into a position that I'm actually normally not very comfortable with. Normally I'm like, oh, you want to do something? Heck yeah, let's do the thing. So this was really strange for a lot of us, because we are used to building things up, not having to get in a defensive posture.
One other question before we shift to looking forward and asking members of this coalition, what success going forward will look like. What are the achievable goals that would really transform the process of making downtown vital, to use the word that Kelly had used? So we'll talk about that a lot more in our second half hour. Kim, as a member of council, one thing that was raised on this program recently was one of your colleagues said, hey, this bid at least had the University of Rochester apparently willing to start paying up on a tax bill. And the largest employer, a huge property owner, gets a lot of sweet tax deals. But if they're willing to come up and put some money in the game, thinking about taking advantage of that would have been wise. And we may lose that now. What do you think?
Why would we lose it? That's my question. Because the U of R owes the people of Rochester a lot. And so why would we lose that?
Because
why,
legally they don't have to pay.
Well, we can stand and demand more from them. It doesn't have to come through just the bid. There are others other opportunities for them to engage in. We just need to come to the table and discuss what that is. And I guarantee you, the other three colleagues of mine, the minorities, I guess we are, want nothing more than to collaborate, because we honestly feel that we are bringing the will of the people into council chambers, and we are speaking on behalf of the community members, not ourselves.
We're talking to Kim Smith from Rochester City Council. Jackie McGriff is a filmmaker, a community advocate, and BID Education Committee member. Kelly Cheadle is an artist, community organizer, and a BID Education Committee member. And after we take this only break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to them about what they see going forward now. Even though, as Kelly said, you don't presume that every door for a BID is closed, let's go beyond BID and let's talk about what is achievable and what they want to work on going forward. And that is next on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections, Assemblymember Jen Lunsford joins us to talk about the recently passed state budget, any issues that are on her radar, and I know there's a lot. In our second hour, there's a lot of talk post Roe v. Wade being overturned by the Supreme Court that OBGYN candidates might not go to states where there are not abortion rights. We'll talk to some of the latest class on Tuesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So looking forward now, and I'll start with Kelly Cheadle. Let's start here. What are the goals that you think are realistic that would really reshape how the community thinks about what downtown development is, and what does that look like?
You know, I actually think I want to start off with what the recommendations from the BID Education Committee, because as the legislation closed, or as this sort of path ended, we got together and discussed what some of the ways forward could look like. So number one was to close the legislation. So we just spoke about closing the door. It is difficult to move forward in uncertainty. So if we have the basic knowledge that if this was ever going to come up again, that it has to start from the beginning, I think you would see a lot more trust in the community and a lot more willingness to collaborate. We were suggesting an organization like CORE, where you have analysts who are looking at each piece of legislation for racial equity. We think that maybe, you know, the mayor said downtown is a neighborhood. Maybe, and there's like, they're citing 10,000 people are now living downtown. Maybe it's time to bring a neighborhood service center specifically for downtown. We've got one that like represents the different quadrants, but maybe there's a need for one of those to support residents and small businesses downtown. Helping to support some of the merchants associations, these small groups where you have, you know, some of the cafes and restaurants and small businesses that have storefronts, let them have their own organization that represents their interests rather than having their landlords advocate for them. That was kind of a strange suggestion from them. And also one of the biggest things is that we want to have those Speak to Council sessions recorded and documented online on the city's channel the way that they used to be, because so much of what happened in these four pillars that were developed happened in the collaborative space of that Speak to Council session in council chambers, because we were able to hear one another and we could hear the passion in each other's voices. We heard that we are all looking for stability. We are looking for the ability to live and thrive in our homes and to look out for our neighbors so that they have the ability to do the same. So I think those few items would make such a huge difference.
Let me turn to Jackie McGriff if you want to add to that.
I'm going to sound like a broken record because I just want to, again, reiterate that we absolutely must put our community first. Whatever it is that they're citing as issues within the community, what they want to see in the community, we absolutely have to give them, I mean, they already have a voice, we have to give them the platform and the influence into the decisions that are being made for them. So if these are decisions being made, it must be that of the people and what they want for their community. It can't be someone else deciding for them what happens.
Okay, Kim?
The only thing that I would add to that and put into perspective, everything Jackie mentioned is something that we have just recently put on the table, and that's participatory budgeting. Mm. That is a democratic and very inclusive process where community members, business owners, everyone comes together, submits their ideas, and then it is the work of a body who is able to turn those ideas into legislation and then let that legislation come before council. And so when talking to the mayor and the president of council about participatory budgeting, we were told to look for it in this upcoming budget, and we will.
Okay. Participatory budgeting is what you call it.
Yes.
How do your colleagues feel about it? And so I guess that division is pretty stark right now.
So I've spoken to the head of the majority, who's the president.
Miguel Melendez.
Of council, yes. And he has said that he believes it's a good idea and we should look for it in the budget. But I think it also needs to become a part of the council charter so that it is always a viable option when we run into issues in trying to decide how to spend money, how to invest in communities, and how we get community input. It's perfect.
Well, let me read two very different emails that kind of illustrate, that will help, I think, our guests describe what their more of what their goals are. But frankly, not just a goal. Sometimes we talk about development. And I'm not saying that, you know, Kelly Cheadle or Jackie McGriff or Kim Smith don't want development, but I'm hearing them say you have to be intentional in how you achieve it and what it achieves for you. Is that a fair representation? Fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So James writes to say, the wicked bid is of the West is dead. I think it's the bid of the Rochester, but James is calling it the wicked bid of the West and says it is dead. Kelly's warning you that it may not be dead, but it is done for now. Very different email from Tim. Tim says, on the bid, this is the most frustrating and bizarre conversation imaginable. He says, in the last year, I've heard more and more people say they have no interest in going downtown for a variety of reasons, but primarily safety. I'm hearing people say that somebody else should foot the bill for revitalization. And if any of your guests don't see a need for revitalization, they're delusional. Downtown has been in decline for many years because the economy, which was mostly retail, flatlined. And going after the University of Rochester for money is so misguided. I can't remember the last time I heard a council member say they were working on bringing jobs or new business downtown. That's from Tim. Kim, you want to start?
Tim, we hear you. I think if you were to go out into the community and you can speak to any Rochester resident, you would not find one person who does not want development. We all want development. We want development without displacement. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And when we talk about downtown, who has the right to downtown and who has the right to that space? The community as a whole. And so whatever it is that we come up with, it cannot displace people, and it has to be an inclusive process for everyone. That way, we know that it is effective. We know that downtown will get utilized. Heck, are there even conversations? Has anyone talked about what would it look like bringing a supermarket back to downtown Rochester?
Are you engaged in conversations with different supermarketeers who might be willing to do that?
I certainly have not, but moving forward, I think it is something that I'm going to bring up to our mayor and find out what is being done on that front and what we can do to assist, because council, at least the myself and the other three council members, we want to be extremely engaged in all of these processes. It just so happens that we don't know what the processes are until legislation is put before us and then we're asked to take a vote.
Okay. Kelly, what would you say to Tim, who says he's heard more and more people say they don't want to go downtown primarily for safety reasons?
I'd say, hi, Tim. I'm Kelly. Nice to meet you. Because I think part of this is making space for recognizing each other as fellow humans and trying to find out what we want. You know, even when it comes to council, there are 9 council members who are not going to agree on every single thing. And that is a good thing, because we do not want a single block of ideas coming through. That's fascist. We want them to have a difference of opinion. We want them to bring different ideas to the table. There will be times where you will have, I mean, even with the coalition that was built, there were some very different people who were speaking to this need, because these were basic needs. Like, these are critical needs where you can get, I mean, like, when we were talking about the ambassador program last fall, and we recognized that that was one of those pieces of legislation where there was some, I'm going to say, some sketchiness in the way that it was presented to council, because you had 3 programs that were lumped together, one of which was a concierge program for downtown, which was part of the bid conversation, and the other one was in 2 locations, was a neighborhood ambassador program where they were doing opioid outreach. So you can be coy and you can say, oh, they're both going to handle litter because one is picking up needles on the ground and the other is, you know, picking up the detritus downtown. You can say that they're both going to answer the question, where do I go for dinner? But that's a very different question downtown than it is in North Clinton. So those were 2 very different programs that needed to be weighed independently. And so the push from the folks that were from the BID Education Committee and the community was, you need to split this bill to make it fair so that council can weigh both of these programs separately on their own merits. And they did. And what happened was, the folks who needed help, the opioid outreach programs, got funded. And the other one died in committee. And that to me is what democracy looks like, where the community has a seat at the table, where we can bring our concerns to council and they can listen and they can do what needs to be done in the best interest of community. Like, that to me, and you guys voted, it was unanimous. It was 9-0 because it was a clean bill.
And the only other thing that I'll add to what both Kim and Kelly are saying is that, hi, Tim, also. and public safety takes many forms. Communities that have lots of resources are safer communities. And you can do all of that without a bid. That's it.
Tim, thank you for the email. So, well, one of the questions that he raises is the question of retail. Is it a goal of yours, the people at this table, this coalition, do you want to see more retail in downtown? Kim?
We have a lot.
Oh, Jackie.
We have a lot of small business owners. I live in Chi-Lai. And I'm constantly downtown because of so much that is down there, down here. Like, there are so many small businesses that I support, and that money is going back into the community. Like, we don't need more franchises. Frankly, a city is, like, it thrives on small business owners and what they're bringing to community, the unique services and the retail that they're bringing downtown constantly. We have so many different markets going on. And frankly, I feel as though we would be doing a lot better if more people knew about all of the small businesses that are down here making Rochester what it is.
Kelly, do you want to see more retail in downtown?
That's a good question, because, why? Like, what is the reason that I want to see, you know, quote-unquote retail? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see people have access to the things that they need in their daily life. So a grocery store is mm-hmm. something that, you know, if you live downtown and you can walk outside and walk down the street and pick up a dozen eggs and a stick of butter, like, that's great, and you should be able to do that. Like, that's the sort of, you know, those basic supplies that are part of daily life. Absolutely, let's do that. And you know what? If a big supermarket doesn't want to come in, maybe we look at municipal grocery stores. That's happened in other areas of the country. Like, I think we have to start these conversations from the point of what is it do we really need? And what is it that we want as a community? And that's going to vary sometimes neighborhood by neighborhood. But if you start in those neighborhoods and you find out, you know, what does this neighborhood need to survive and thrive? Maybe this neighborhood needs youth programs. Maybe this neighborhood needs this. And I think that participatory budgeting piece could tie into that. Like, if it was neighborhood based, like, what does the Park Avenue neighborhood need or want is going to be different than what Conkey needs or wants.
Okay. Councilmember Smith, do you want to see more retail?
Of course, retail, events, and opportunities to engage. Anytime that people, especially those who live in Rochester, are spending their money in Rochester versus needing to travel to Henrietta or Webster, a little shot there, or, yeah, we want people buying and selling and thriving right here in the city of Rochester, of course.
If you speed in Webster, you might get pulled over.
But you do not have to comply.
Well,
unless you're black, you can end up shot.
Yeah. That was the earlier conversation.
That was the previous. Councilmember Smith, do you want to take a moment to make a statement on what you think ought to happen with the district attorney, given that it just came up here? I understand like the nature. I don't want to just treat it flippantly, so I want to give you some space to talk about it.
I think at the very least, council, we have done our role, and that is a call for an investigation. That was the least we could do. But at most is listen to the community and ask for her resignation. Mm-hmm. Unlike, I just saw this Republican or the statement that came out from the GOP.
Yeah, yeah.
And have we read this?
I read it on the air last hour, yeah. The Republicans in the county legislature are standing by the district attorney. They say she's had many years of a good record of service, and that's not negated by what happened last week.
So if the district attorney, who is aware of body-worn camera footage, is pulled over, treats the officer like crap out in the open, what is done behind closed doors? Mm-hmm. What has she done behind these closed doors over a course of how many years?
33, something like that.
Over the course of 33 years, mm-hmm. She prides herself on prosecution. So how many black and brown and low-income people has she put behind bars for showing up doing some of what she did? Can you imagine if a low-income or black and brown person did this in a stop? We would probably be looking at another community homicide. This is unacceptable. Whatever Sandra Dorley was when she started is not who she is now. And it is time for a change.
Let me just try to squeeze in a little bit more from listeners. And this comes from SR. SR says, downtown needs a grocery store and some kind of a drugstore. There's no excuse for not Amen. Having these in an area that has over 10,000 people. You agree with that?
Amen. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, wholeheartedly. People need to get what they need. Remember, we are living in the fourth poorest city in the nation, some of the highest rates of poverty in New York State. We need to make bold, innovative, and creative decisions.
Okay, agree on that point?
Yeah, I mean, there are basic needs that we are not. I'm not going in the backyard and like pulling off willow tree bark to cure my headache. I need to be able to walk down the street and get some medicine because that's, you know, how I roll. But like, I don't think that we should be, you know, it's not just downtown that needs access to these pharmacies. Like, there was the one pharmacy in, was it in Councilmember Lachey's district that got closed. Mm-hmm. Like, we need
right
these
on Thurston Road.
Yeah, there's so we need these resources throughout this community. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? And I'm not sure whose responsibility that is to kind of draw those businesses in. But let's get them here. Let's show them that we have 10,000 people downtown. And to me, that doesn't negate, you know, possibly the role of the RDDC. That is their lane. They can go and court these businesses. I'm not saying that they can't do that. But that's a small piece of the puzzle. You know, this is a nonprofit organization that has a role. Just like other nonprofits in the community have a role. They don't automatically get a to be fair, it would be great to have a way to provide funding for nonprofits in the community that comes off of the a payment, but like sorry, just like the sort of audacity that like you expect to get this payment for your services is just kind of out there for me.
Okay, Jack, you want to add to that?
I have nothing more to add to that. I think Kelly and Kim, as per usual, hit it right on the head there. Yeah.
So what do the future of – you're describing a very different vision for how choices are made. Who's involved? Who's at the table? What gets prioritized and what doesn't? And we're sitting across the street from Kodak, and I see that big building every day. And I'm reminded by people – I've been here for, you know, about a quarter century, but – I'm reminded by people that 40 years ago, there were 60, 65,000 people working at Kodak. And one of the things that former Kodakers will say is, you know, what's the future job base? What is the heart, the beating heart of the jobs of the future? Is it more dispersed, smaller businesses, entrepreneurs, et cetera? Is there a way to think about that? Do you think about it differently now? I mean, Kim, how do you see that?
I think we need more community contracts, so to speak. If you are doing business within the city of Rochester, are you also hiring within the city of Rochester? I think people want to work, but I don't think that there are a lot of opportunities. Do you know that we have even a transportation issue where people in the city of Rochester who take the bus to work cannot get to work because there is no bus route there? There is so much work that we need to do, and we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can talk about revitalizing downtown Rochester as we are doing intentional investments around other areas of the community, especially when you talk about public safety. Like one of the issues in the bid where they said to increase public safety, I think the thinking was doing something around our homeless community, right? But you know, this is the truth about encampments, Evan. Encampment sweeps are not effective because there is no place to put people. They are going to move from one encampment and then begin another. Right now, for the so many within our homeless community are in active addiction or having mental health issues, including our veterans. And when you do outreach to that community, where are you placing them in the midst of no low barrier housing? Because the Office of Mental Health and OASIS both have very specific rules. Before you can get housed, you have to be a part of a plan or some type of treatment plan. But if you have no housing, are unstable, what's to come of you? And so I think that we need to do a few things. We need to focus on revitalizing downtown with the intention of investing in our communities as a whole. And what does that look like? And as Jackie mentioned, what does public safety look like?
Exactly.
I'm going to squeeze in a call from Blue. Hi, Blue. Go ahead.
Hey, Evan. Blue here. Just wanted to thank the guests for speaking up on this issue. I've been involved with this effort over the last couple of years, especially learning about bids in other cities. And I think the thing that I wanted to piggyback on was the question of like who's at the table and who gets to decide if a bid is the vehicle, because I think in the end many people want a similar sense of growth and development, but how you get there is really, really important. And I think the notion that a bid was just going to miraculously solve all of Rochester's ills, and it was just like every city has one, come on, get on board, hurry up, I think that's the way this was presented to the to many in the community. I think little ink and attention was given to the fact that essentially the same plan failed in 2014. And there was not really a true soliciting of input from the community before the train started moving. And it felt like paternalistic. It felt like those in power were just steamrolling something through. And I think one of your callers last week basically summarized it that same way. But ultimately, like 33 organizations and 35 small businesses and a lot of other citizens were opposed to this. So I think that's what happened here.
Well, Blue, you end up getting the last word.
Aw.
Thanks, you, Blue. I appreciate the phone call. And I want to thank our guests in studio. This is part of an ongoing series of conversations, not only about a Rochester bid, but about the future of downtown. You'll hear a lot more in the days and weeks to come. Thanks to Kelly Cheadle, Kim Smith, member of Rochester City Council, Jackie McGriff. Thanks to all three of you for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
And I hope that you all listeners are members of your public radio. This is a great day to become a member of public radio. It's WXXI.org/give. We'll all talk to you tomorrow right here on member-supported public radio.